And blessings, everyone. Ivy Ganiel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence, as you do each and every Sabbath. And thank you for blessing us with the changing of the showbread and bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks, so you alone are glorified. Thank you for blessing everyone that is on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, those that are in need of healings, be it spiritual or physical. And thank you also for blessing the workers that are all over the world now, in every nation on earth, passing out presenting the present truth to anyone that will listen. Please bless their efforts and keep a hedge of angels strong around them, because they are on the front lines, and it is getting pretty intense now. Thank you also, Father God, for giving us the courage, the faith, the wisdom, the discernment, and all that we need to glorify you, to stand firm in Christ. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you, Father, for being with us every step of the way. As your Son promised, he'll be with us always, even to the end. And so thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see these things happen on a regular basis and giving us many opportunities to share the truth that you grant our hearts to understand. And please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, amen and amen. All right. We are starting a new lesson today, lesson 31. We only got 33. And for some reason, I don't have lesson 33 on the site. I thought I did. So I got to go dig that thing up. As I was doing the studies the other day for the church, and we're not going to run across this for a while, because this is, I'm way ahead on the studies here. We're only on number one here, but I think I'm almost done with study lesson, lesson 31 in regards to my own private notes. And I'm going to have to do some editing, because there are some doctrinal issues, but it's not a salvation issue. There's just a misunderstanding, or the way it's being explained in some of the notes in the study book number 31 are doctrinally confusing. And so I just got to forewarn you. But that's not till a while from now, because like I said, I have, let me just see where it's at. I think I put a yellow bar. There it is. I started with a yellow bar. Okay, yeah, question number 14, the notes, and then I think question 15, too, had some issues. So let me scroll back up to the notes for question number one. That's where we're at today. All right, and the study, of course, is about when all religions unite. And that's wild, too, because now that I think about it, I was just listening to WTPR, and welcome for those of you on radio. But I always got to try to sync it to where, like, WTPR stops, the present broadcast stops right when we're ready to start the church service, or maybe 15 minutes in advance, because I don't like just having music in there, because people have a tendency to walk away and think we're done. But I was in there talking about how the Pope, and this is back in the year 2000, 2001 and 2, I had some articles in there. There was a reason the Pope started pushing Islam as a church that they should embrace, everybody should embrace. And that was 17 years ago. And we were warning people back then, actually before then, because, like I say, that's just, I think that broadcast was from 2001. And we had been doing this for long before that. Especially when they started stating that you should teach children Islam, or teach them from the Quran in Roman Catholic schools. John Paul II did that. And now we know why they embraced Islam, because they knew they were going to put them out there politically as well as demonically. I mean, they're out there killing Christians left and right, just like the Vatican did during the Inquisition. So anyway, we're on question number one, which, again, this is, and that's why I brought up the broadcast on WTPR, because the main reason was the ecumenical charge. It was to get everybody together, and it's no mistake that Islam Sports or claims to have 1.3 billion people, and the Vatican has 1.2 billion. They lie. I mean, like, for example, when we left the Catholic Church, you can ask them to remove your name, but they won't. They got to keep them numbers up there because they are political. They're not just a church. And so the more numbers they have, they can flex their muscles in legislative halls, acting like they got a big voting block when they show the statistics for the church. So anyway, question number one. Unclean spirits came out of the mouths of what three apocalyptic figures? And Revelation 16, verse 13 says, thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting it in the room. It says, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, as we know, by our studies in prophecy, frogs are the prophetic symbol for destruction. In fact, it says in Psalm 78:45, he sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. And seeing how these frogs came out of the mouths of the dragon, beast, and false prophet, we can see their messages will be very destructive. Thank you, Brother Sean. It says in Revelation 20, verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So by this passage alone, we know the dragon with the first frog is indeed Satan. His message is exceptionally destructive, as any weak or strong Christian can attest to, without getting into too much depth in this regards. We know it says this about the obedient bride in Revelation 15:2. It says, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So we know the image is the Vatican's church and state conglomeration. We know the mark is the Vatican Sabbath, and we know the 666 is the number of all the names of the popes. It's not the mark. Everybody's out there pushing it's the mark because Rome loves confusion because it allows them a little bit more time to do their dirty work. So, but the 666 is just the number of the names of the popes. And for those of you that never heard that before, let me just quickly say that, like, take, for example, the name Vicarius Filii Dei, which is Latin for Vicar of the Son of God, right? And that is the main title of the office of Pope. Now, they have declared for decades, and I remember doing this on the street, even as a Sunday keeper, showing everybody the 666 in regards to that. And every Catholic I came across says, oh, no, that's a bogus title. That was never, ever part of the church's history. They never used that title, ever. Well, about 3 or 4 years after going online, I came across an actual facsimile of a document, like a copy of a document. They call them facsimiles back then. And posted on the site where they actually admit in writing that, yeah, Vicarius Filii Dei is on the main mitre. You know, that mitre has the three stages for the three stages of heaven that the Pope claims to rule over. It says right on it, Vicarius Filii Dei. I put that mitre every now and then in some of my videos. It's got like a big, that thing's over 100 pounds. How they even hold that on their head is beyond me. Maybe they have a lighter version for them to wear, but the thing is massive, and it's just encrusted with jewels and diamonds and gold and platinum. And but anyway, it's easy to calculate the name of the beast, or the number of his name, rather, because they use the dead language of Latin, and we all know this. And as a matter of fact, Ratzinger was instrumental in pushing Latin back into the church recently before he stepped down. And it is a dead language. No one on planet Earth is born speaking Latin. None of their parents are, you know, that's their native tongue. No one on planet Earth speaks Latin. It's just a native, it's not a native tongue anymore. It's a dead language. But Rome keeps pushing it because it allows them to make themselves look holier than thou and stuff like that. And they come up with these fancy sayings. But it's not easy to hide, even in Latin, some of the obvious demonic activity that's going on. Like, I don't know if you saw the video some time ago in regards to where they mentioned Luciferius and Lucifer's. I can't remember exactly how the guy pronounced it, but it was actually glorifying Satan in a Vatican mass with prelates, which was probably not supposed to be televised because everybody sitting in there are Satanists. We've got videos of this. I got a picture of the Vatican's audience hall. It looks like a snake. It's designed to look like Satan, the serpent. Literally, inside and out. And that video is still getting crazy hits. But the thing where they, like they actually got caught holding a satanic mass inside the Vatican. I got that, I think, in the 1990s. And but it was Archbishop Malingo, I think, that brought it forth in the year 2000 at the Fatima 2000 Congress. And he waited for that time because he knew there would be a bunch of prelates out there listening to what he had to say when he exposed them in regards to the... He caught them red-handed, holding a black mass for Satan. But anyway, since Latin is their native tongue, a lot of people don't realize is that Latin is not only their alphabet, it's also the numeric system. In other words, the letter V also means the number 5. The letter I also means the number 1. So all you got to do is just spell Vicarius Filii Dei or any of the other titles of the office of Pope and just add them up one at a time. Each, because adding them all up together, no. You could do this individually with each title. It's uncanny how they each equal 666. And so anyway, we know the number of the names of the Pope. And so the beast with the second frog is in fact the Roman Catholic Church. And their message is also exceptionally destructive. And it comes from their mouths, okay? It's their theology. This is why free speech is such an issue in today's world. And it's why I built that page on the website many years ago. Because I know, I mean, we know what prophecy says. They're eventually going to make it illegal to speak about Jesus Christ. And anybody that has the evidence, because they know about the loud cry just like we do. So, but they don't know, well, no, they don't know like we do, but they know it's coming. They just can't get, they can't read between the lines because disobedience is not blessed with prophetic utterance. It's just never going to happen. Old to New Testament, no, it's just nowhere in there. All the prophets can do at that time is just tell the people to repent. So literally billions have been deceived into worshiping another Jesus just as the prophecy predicted they would for today's world. And now we get to the false prophet. Now, many claim this to be the Pope or even the U.S. government. But this is only because deception is their foundation to draw from, and so any twisted scripture will allow them to see this as truth when in fact it is a lie. The false prophet is in fact apostate Protestantism. And like the other two frogs, their message is just as destructive as they are. I mean, look at today. All they're saying Allah is God, the Holy Spirit, Allah is God, and that homosexual marriage is legal, and it's all sorts of strange stuff. But especially now, it is obvious, since the largest Vatican-approved and manipulated gathering of the so-called Protestants known as Pentecostals, who are also infamous for the same fake miracles we see the Vatican promoting, they have men like Benny Hinn and the like that are using the exact same apparitional claims as Rome does. Catholics see Mary and Jesus appearing all over the place and everything from taco shells to water stains on highway overpasses, right? And Benny Hinn recently declared on camera, I actually watched this video, that he and his entire congregation saw the face of Jesus. And mind you, this is the Vatican-approved face of Jesus appearing on the wall. One of the brothers in the faith many years ago made a video about the face that you see out there of Jesus Christ that the world thinks it's... No, no, no. That's not what Jesus looked like. So it was that man was the illegitimate child of one of the popes that he wanted to promote forward, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember all the particulars on that because, like I said, I didn't do the video he did. And how do I know the Protestants are indeed the false prophet? Well, as we learned a few months ago in these studies, the Bible gives us all sorts of ways to define a false prophet. The main one being, of course, that which is found in Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 to 2, that says, If they say in their heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, in other words, let me backtrack. So how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? In other words, if you don't find it in the scripture, you know, then the person's prophesying, right? Okay. So when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. You know, because they're going to go out there with all sorts of false prophecies. As a matter of fact, I bring up one of them in today's sermon. But anyway, so looking at the Protestant churches of today that claim God said the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, or God said there will be a secret rapture, or God said there's a 7-year tribulation, or eternal life and hellfire. I mean, it's just off the chart, all these crazy things, but it's okay. they even say it's okay to eat unclean food, or it's okay for the women to dress like men, just to name a few. I don't want to go into any big detail here, but we know the Lord hath not spoken such things. And so the Protestant churches of today are in fact false prophets, or the false prophet of the third frog that's in the mouth, because again, their heretical message comes from their lying mouths. It's not in the Word. There is nowhere in the Scripture. In other words, how shall we know the Word which the Lord hath not spoken? Well, he hath spoken about the second coming and how it's going to go down. So their definition of a secret rapture is false. And we also know that when you die, you don't go straight to heaven or hell. So their definition of the state of the dead is false. And we know there's not a scripture from Genesis to Revelation to back up a Sunday Sabbath, and so their declaration that it's Sunday is false. And so they're false prophets. And just so you know, another way to define the frog in how the frog catches its prey in nature, I mean, because the Lord likes to use that which is already in nature as a way to show that what goes down in reality or even in the spiritual realm of things when it comes to his word. Does he not use, like the frog, does he not use his tongue to catch his prey and destroy the prey? This is why the Lord used this frog as a symbol. And so and Satan does this, the Vatican does this, and all the Protestant churches do this. They use their false theology. They're using their tongues to move people, and especially Pentecostals. They actually claim that they speak in tongues, and it's not tongues. It's not that's another thing that's false. It's not an actual doctrine. Gibberish is not a doctrine. Neither is bouncing around in an aisle of a church like a fish out of water a doctrine, or barking like a dog, or laughing uncontrollably, like, you know, what was it, the Toronto movement, where they had all that laughing. So we also know this, though. The United States of America is the prophesied second beast of Revelation, and we all know how and why this nation was formed. As prophesied, unlike the first beast in Rome that came out of many waters that represent many different peoples, nations, and tongues, of course, we all know this, America came out of the earth, where they brought the people to its shores. There wasn't anybody, well, there were natives here, but it was nothing like many people's nations and tongues. And so, and why did they come here? And see, this is one of the reasons I decided to be somewhat of a problem in high school. From what I read in the history books and the encyclopedias that my parents bought me when I was a kid, because you didn't have video games back then. And I kept begging for the Encyclopedia Britannica because a salesman came by with all these fancy books, and I thought, whoa, heaven on earth, you know, because I've always had questions. I always wanted to know what happened before I was born, you know, and why is this like this or why is this like that? And I didn't understand that I should just open up a Bible. I'm like 10, you know, and so finally got it. And I saw and I found some documentation in regards to why people came to America. They came as Christians who protested against the way Rome was killing Christians. So whenever the people of the world look at the USA, they think they see a Protestant nation, because that's how it started out. But now if you go, like I said, one of the reasons I rebelled in high school is because when the first time I sat down in history class, which was the first class of the day, so day one, in class one, I thought, whoa, we got a problem here. Because the thing with the, you know, saying that we started because of taxation going down, and in other words, they changed the history books, and I caught them. And but I wasn't going to say anything because I was a young guy. I was a young buck. I didn't have any ability to explain myself then. I was just reading, and I had stage fright too, so I wasn't going to get up there and say anything. And that's why I did the class clown thing, so I can hide my fright. And so, in essence, you can even declare it. The United States of America, well, actually, the Protestants in this nation of America to be the false prophet. I mean, with the 501c3 recently amalgamating the church and state together as a living and breathing entity now, I mean, it looks even more like the Vatican image. Still, whenever I see the false prophet, I always have seen all the churches, and this includes the Seventh, especially the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they had the utterance of prophecy at one time. None other church did, unless you go way back 2,000 years. So, thanks to what President Bush did in 2006 with the 501c3, the false prophet can also be seen when looking at the United States, because we are still looked at as a Protestant nation. So that's where the confusion comes in when people say the false prophet is the USA. No, go a little deeper. it's the people in the USA that claim to be Protestant, because that's where the rubber hits the road in regards to this prophetic utterance. So anyway, the next question is, the false prophet is identified as being the one that did what? And in Revelation 19:20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then the study notes share the following. It says, those activities are done by the second beast of Revelation 13, the United States of America, compare with Revelation 13, 14. When referred to as a beast, as in chapter 13, the focus is on the political government of the nation. But when referred to as a false prophet, the focus is unmistakably on the religious element of the country. And that's why I said what I said a minute ago, because here we agree. We're on the same page here with the author of this study. But and then he goes on to say, he says, the primary religion in the United States is Protestantism. So Revelation 16:13 therefore describes the ecumenical uniting of the three classes of religion, paganism, Catholicism, and Protestantism. But many Protestants do not realize or fear the steady, rapid progress of the papal power. Downplaying their differences, Protestant leaders have begun to court the favor of Rome, slowly playing themselves into the hand of the system their fathers gave their lives to resist. And so that's the study notes. And this is why, in fact, I did a sermon back on January 7, 2017, just recently, where it was called Current Events and Prophecy Part 5, where it's more or less like they all joined Babylon. All the churches in America have joined with Rome. Worse yet, the only one that was truly Protestant, and this is why I kind of hang my hat a little closer to declaring the false prophet, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they really are the true Protestant church. All right? And that being the way it is, I mean, they're actually the leader in this prophesied apostasy when it comes down to this. As a matter of fact, somebody just sent me an article just the other day that, Francis, when he came to America to visit our Congress, he literally stopped at the General Conference, stayed just for a little while, an hour or two, to congratulate and praise them. I did not know that. The guy just recently shared the article with me, so I'm going to be posting it on sdeapostasy.org when I get a chance. But anyway, what I just shared in regards to the current events in prophecy, that's why I did what I, you know, saved this to the last sermon, but still, I could have done a sermon series on the similarities between the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Roman Catholic Church when it came to the many documents that I already have on SDA apostasy, wherein I showed a Vatican statement in writing and then the Adventist statement. They even have an Adventisto Vaticanus, which is a Seventh-day Adventist Vatican in Maryland, Maryland, no less. I actually have the picture of that building on sdaapostasy.org. Just go to the pictures and evidence, or evidence and pictures link. So it's truly shocking, and just as I discovered when I left the Catholic Church, most Adventists have no clue their church leaders have stated such things or even signed such agreements in writing with the man of sin in Rome. This is why it's so important to try and show them. You know, this is why I did what I did with the Catholics when I left the Catholic Church. I didn't realize the SDA Church was falling into the same arms until I started keeping Sabbath. So just as the Catholics don't know about the paganism in the church, the Adventists are also kept in the dark on this from their leaders. They have to echo the leaders. They don't want them going into the scriptures. And what shocks me the most is I can understand why it's so hard to reach Catholics, as I have been trying for over three decades. But why is it most Seventh-day Adventists are just as hard to reach? I mean, Catholics don't read Bible, and so it's extra hard to get them to see the danger. Yeah, but SDAs claim they do read their Bibles. But I am sad to say, if they did, it would not be so hard to reach them. They've given up on reading the Bibles. At least believing them anyway. They're trusting their pastor. It's the age of convenience and the age of lying. So if you go through the doc files on sdeapostasy.org, you will discover why it has become hard to reach them. The pastors in the SDA Church have become just as trusted as the priests in the Catholic Church. And that's who they are able to, well, that's why they're able to entrap them, better yet. And so, like I said, they just don't read their Bibles anymore. They only read and echo their pastor. just like the Catholics. And so expect something else to begin appearing soon in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that is usually only seen in Catholic churches. I mean, you know, what am I talking about there? Well, the prophecy said the false prophet had wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the image. So all SDAs are right now worshiping the image of the beast just by sitting in their pews. There's no way to get around that. You can't twist scriptures out of that one. It's just there. And Rome is a church and state, and so they are a church and state as well. They have actually helped. They were the first ones to do it in the 1800s. They had like a facsimile of it, like a copy of it, if you will. So sitting in the pews declares all people sitting there that they condone joining with the second beast of the United States of America, just as the Vatican joined its church with its Vatican State or Vatican City, which is their state. And so just as Catholics keep seeing apparitions of demons claiming to be Catholic saints, one can expect SDAs to start doing the same soon. I'm sure maybe Ellen White will pop up somewhere. I don't know. But I would think, especially after Satan appears on earth claiming to be Christ, and just like Rome's, some demonic miracles will begin to take place using the satanic science of deception. You know, everything from holograms to whatever. But now, I don't think that Ellen White's going to, they're going to do like a demonic apparition of Ellen White, unless, of course, the people that are in the SDA church, and there's a ton of them that are like this, where they only read Spirit of Prophecy. And so, because they only read Spirit of Prophecy, they'd only get 40, 50% of what is written in the scripture. And so they start hanging their hat on her, and they start worshiping her. And then, yeah, I could see a demonic apparition of her showing up to those kind of people. But the fact that most SDAs aren't seeing wrong and going to Hollywood movies wherein their mind is being indoctrinated literally to believe the same demon-inspired lies as the Catholics confirm, this is all going to happen just as the Word of God predicts. I mean, worse yet, they also listen and dance to the same music as the Catholics now. They eat the same poisonous foods, making their minds that much easier to manipulate as do the Catholics. And they even drink alcohol so as to lower their defenses to the floor. In short, the days ahead are not going to be very blessed for the SDA people at all. I mean, keep them in prayer while at the same time warn them as many as you can, because that's your duty. If you are the remnant of her seed, well, then do what you can. And by the way, the fact that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has more than one false prophet out there claiming everything from Sunday Sabbath is no big deal, and I call him a false prophet because if the Bible doesn't say you should keep Sunday holy, then they're prophesying, just like we learned earlier in the passage, where like if the Lord doesn't say it, well, then what does the prophet say? But if it doesn't come to pass, it's false. Well, it's the same thing with doctrinal issues. If they're claiming something that's not written by God, they're claiming to prophesy. And there's just not a single verse from Genesis to Revelation. I actually did a video on one conference leader declaring it's no big deal to keep Sunday holy in the SDA church. And then some, these so-called prophets in the seventh, literally calling themselves prophets in the SDA church, are saying that they have prophetic dreams so as to help the Seventh-day Adventist people find more so-called truth that suggests the final steps towards indoctrination at races in the direction of receiving the mark have already been taken. So it's going to be that much easier to manipulate the path in front of them to get them to stand in line to get that mark. And it's not really going to, you know, we all know it's not been stamped on the forehead or on the hand. It's a decision. And they even have, and I'll close with this. I actually, in one of my videos, and I have the document on SDAapostasy.org in the evidence and pictures areas because it was a pic sent to me. And so I just put the pic in one of my videos. It's a list of 200 Seventh-day, and this was years ago, I think over a decade ago. There's many, 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 many more. That, like Dwight Nelson, for anybody that's ever seen Dwight Nelson preach, that man uses NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming. That's the nice, nice language of today. Title, which is actually mass hypnosis or mesmerism when he preaches to keep you in the pew. And so they got hundreds of pastors doing this now. And so, as well as Satan's rock music. I don't know how many videos I've seen of Seventh-day Adventist churches with the drums and everything, guitars, the whole nine yards, right up there on the stage, while the pastor's preaching, walking back and forth, and he walks in front of the drums, and it's like, no big deal. It's just part of the way the church goes now, they say. And that's prophesied, bedlam of noise. So, anyway, I hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.